Talk about the Greens, that bunch of idiots.
Hey there, Climactic Collective listeners.
I'm Emerald Moon.
And I'm Tom Bella.
And together we host Serious Danger,
a podcast about Australia's broken political system and its greatest threat,
the Australian Greens.
It's a show about green politics in Australia.
The kind of politics that puts people and the planet before profit.
We talk to cool and interesting people about fighting for good shit, like taxing billionaires,
housing for all,
workers' rights,
First Nations justice,
and drugs. Sweet, sweet, sweet drugs.
Join us on Serious Danger every Sunday. You can subscribe to us anywhere you get podcasts.
You can find us on Patreon. We're at Serious Danger AU on the socials, or just head to seriousdangerpod.com.
That's Serious Danger with me, Emerald Moon.
And me, Tom Ballard. Do you think we need something at the end there? Go Greens.
Welcome to the Sustainable You podcast with your hosts, Jackie Kidman and Lisa Wisdom. Self-proclaimed urban hippies, waste warriors, and passionate women. Tune in for practical information and inspiration on how to reduce your impact on the environment and become a more sustainable you.
Before we begin, Lisa and Jackie would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and the places on which we record our podcast. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Sustainable You podcast. I'm here on my own, just Jackie here. We normally have Lisa here too, but she's again busy finalising a big project with her Climate for Change work that she does. So we couldn't quite organise our schedules to be able to do this together, and we still want to make sure we bring you content. So I'm here. And I have the lovely Zara Dakota here with me as well. Welcome, Zara.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm very excited to have you on here. As most people would know about me is that, who are listeners, would know that I sort of talk a lot about energy efficient homes and being quite sustainable. And I sort of discovered you who are, you know, you as I was going to say self-proclaimed, but you're not self-proclaimed. You are actually a healthy homes coach. and you are really around pushing it a little bit more further based on your personal experience on that it's not just about being energy efficient or sustainable or having double glazed windows. You know, there's so much more to it. And for me, personally, I've kind of looked into different things and tried to do my own research, and there's a lot of information out there. And so I've followed you for years on your page. So I'm super pumped that we're able to connect together on this, and also to share a little bit more to our listeners, because I'm looking at rebuilding a house, demolishing and rebuilding. So I kind of engaged you to help me a little bit on what's the best way to do this. And you've already pulled up a few things that I didn't even think of. And I'm really grateful that there is a service out there that you offer to be able to help people. So welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
So, yeah, thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here and to chat to you. I love chatting to like minds about health and sustainability. So my business is called The Healthy Home, and my purpose is to help mainly parents create healthier home environments so that their families can thrive. And I created this off the back of really 7 years of various health challenges, starting with my breast cancer diagnosis at age 29, melanoma the year after, losing a really close girlfriend to breast cancer, and then even though cancer and my treatments had never made me sick, I was suddenly, well, not suddenly, but I had you know, more than 20 symptoms after, you know, going through radiotherapy and lots of stress and hormone medication that no health professional could really pinpoint. And then I was very fortunate to find, just by pure luck, was looking into it, a naturopath would look at the genetic side of things, and she happened to be trained in building biology, and and did a full health history of buildings I'd lived in all my life, some of which I suspect were water damaged, and made a connection between the symptoms I was experiencing and my own environmental sensitivities. So mold, so I've spent 5 years going through mold illness, also known as chronic inflammatory response syndrome, and EMF sensitivity and chemical sensitivity also go hand in hand with that. So I, you know, when this first came to light 5 years ago, this was not something that was being talked about openly at all. My doctors basically told me I was a loony. My family and friends didn't really believe me. So I had to go and I had to, you know, go and learn or do all the research, speak to different experts myself, and then pretty much spend 5 years on the move from one moldy house to another in Sydney after I left Melbourne, and then eventually moved last year to northern New South Wales to escape, you know, fresh country air and all of that. But when I moved into my new home, it was a brand new home by the ocean. I woke up the first morning after I'd slept here with stinging eyes, and I had a rash for the first few months. And I was really, I guess you could say at the end of last year, I was quite disheartened and disillusioned and just thought, how am I ever going to find a truly healthy home? And the only way is going to be able to, I'm going to have to learn how to do it myself and build my own. So I enrolled in building biology and started studying healthy building materials. I'm about to finish healthy building design because as well as building my own healthy home, I really, I just see so much need for change in the way our home is designed and built.
Amazing. Amazing. I guess like for a lot of people, like for me, like I've mentioned a little bit about my story, but I had a health kind of concern 8 years ago, and that was kind of my sort of pivoting point of wanting to be, you know, looking at chemical impact. You know, I've also got an autoimmune disease which I've lived with for a long time, so there was lots of those little things that I started to kind of go like, oh, I need to look at different ways of doing this because the norm is not right for me or my family, but
yeah.
It's not the way that we should kind of be doing things. We're just sort of put into that trajectory of
yeah. And the really empowering thing that I've learned through all of this is the concept of epigenetics, the idea that just because we have a genetic predisposition to a certain illness doesn't mean you know, we can switch our genes on and off through diet, lifestyle, but also our environment. So getting our environment under control, we can actually turn those genes off.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. So, like, for me, just because I can only talk on my experience, but I'm sure you'll give that sort of experience. But for me, with our, like, the process for us to do the demolition rebuild, which is part of the reason why I engaged you, was that when I'd kind of said I want, like, to our builder, I want a very high energy efficient rating, how can I get the highest possible rating, what sort of things can I tweak and change, we're not using gas in the house because of the environmental side of things. I'd really kind of been focusing on the environmental side of things, but what triggered me for you was also around the health side of things. And then I think I said to you, oh, my God, I didn't even think that, you know, when I had kids, I didn't buy brand new furniture because I was concerned around things like formaldehyde and, and the paint. And, you know, I was very conscious about, you know, most of the stuff was secondhand because I was really confident.
Right.
When someone engages you, for example.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through the process that you take them through?
Yeah. So there's certain criteria that I use. So, well, first of all, if I'm working with someone one-on-one, so it's looking at the site that they're building or renovating on and doing a really comprehensive site assessment, so understanding if there are any nearby health hazards like phone towers, air pollution, that need to be taken into consideration in the choice of building materials and the design. Be able to help people put together a brief for their builder and architect that to ensure that they're getting the best possible air quality in the home through the choice of building materials, passive ventilation, but also choosing materials that aren't going to negatively impact the electroclimate of the home. Something that in the push for energy efficient homes that is forgotten is, well, not really thought about, is our homes are being sealed so that they're airtight, and that means that air can't escape, and the building code doesn't take into consideration the passage of water vapor from the inside to the outside of your home, so it can get trapped in the wall cavities. You've got vapor membranes that can't breathe, and that can be a significant contributor to condensation and mold issues. So I'll then work with my client to make suggestions on materials, and I give ratings because obviously lots of different options in it. It's not necessarily about making every decision perfect, because it's not really realistic to do that, but it's really about getting an understanding of what your vision is for your home, but also any like environmental sensitivities or any other health concerns you have, and providing you with the information that you need to be able to make the best decisions for you based on your goals.
One of the things I think that you talked about, like that bathroom sort of ventilation, and and I was like, yeah, my house doesn't have, like my current house doesn't have any of that. I'm pretty sure it just goes straight up to the roof. Oh,
and this is like, people don't really understand the extent of this. I was actually reading a report on this last night. Australia is so far behind the rest of the world in terms of our standards, and I think more people are suffering health issues as a result of mold than we realize. And I saw the report that I read last night estimate that it's costing billions of dollars a year in lost productivity, health costs, people having to remediate, move out of their homes.
Obviously, like things like the type of paint that maybe doesn't have as much like VOCs, which I don't know. Do you want to explain what VOC? I have an understanding because I used to sell cleaning products, natural cleaning products.
So VOCs, volatile organic compounds, so they're chemical vapors, and not all VOCs are bad. If you cook food, you're going to get VOCs, essential oils and VOCs, but then many different materials like paints, sealants, glues, carpets, plasterboard, furniture, electronic equipment can emit VOCs like formaldehyde, as you said, that are really harmful to human health. So they're even like a green building. The CSIRO found that the highest levels of airborne toxics in a green building. So, yeah, paint choices are really important, but it's really hard to make the right choices because a lot of paint brands are now labelling them low VOC. But that label doesn't take into account semi-VOCs, which are things like formaldehyde and other antimicrobials. So they'll say that they're low VOC, but then they'll say, you know, antifungal, and that should send alarm bells ringing. Not the role of paint to prevent mold. Like the focus should be on, you know, choosing materials that are breathable, choosing a paint that's breathable, not actually putting a fungicide into the paint to stop mold.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is why you play such an important role, because I know a little bit, but I don't know a lot, but I think I know a little bit more than the average person sort of things.
This is where I love being able to help people because whether it be yourself but also architects and building designers I'm now talking to, really interested in wanting to make the right choices. But this is, you know, I know this from hundreds of hours of study and research and analysing different materials, and most people don't really have the time or the inclination to want to go spend the time going down all those rabbit holes.
And I was just thinking now, like with Melbourne, in Melbourne we've been inside our homes for 23 hours a day pretty much, like just in terms of not just the mental health aspect, but if your home doesn't have the right ventilation or the, you know, like just what that impact and the fact they're also very fearful of getting sick.
Totally. There's a doctor, I think it's Dr. Mary Ackley. She was a psychiatrist, and she started asking questions of patients with depression and anxiety, and she started drawing a correlation between their home environment and their symptoms. So she's now a trained to diagnose and treat mold illness because she saw such a correlation between mold and depression and anxiety.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, your work is even from like laying the concrete.
Yeah, literally from the ground up. And the foundation of the home is so important, and where you can get mold if the foundation isn't right and there's moisture seeping in and there's a lot to
consider. Now, we're talking about mold, right?
Yeah.
Because, again, I think this is a bit of a
conception.
Like mold, I think people think it's that stuff that you just find in your shower, but. Yeah. We're talking about a higher
airborne. It doesn't, you don't need to be able to sell it, smell it. You don't need to be able to see it. It's in 40% of new buildings. So if you see, like if you've got a new building and you see condensation on the windows, that's a pretty good indicator of mold. Where there's condensation, there's mold. It can get through every type of building material, furnishing, and it can wreak havoc with every system in the human body. So even though I'm in a new home, like I don't let the moisture levels, like I've got a dehumidifier in my bedroom because humidity above 60% is ideal breeding ground for mold and dust mites. So if you've got too much moisture in the air in your home, that can contribute to mold.
Mm.
Turning the fan on whenever you're in the bathroom and using other wet areas and, yeah.
Would you work with or do you work with people who are wanting to rectify issues in their home currently? So, for example, for me, if I was like, well, we're not, I just want to fix some of the bathroom stuff, yeah. Is that also a process that you...
If you're wanting to, like, look at materials, do you mean?
Like, say, for example, I personally think we've got a water issue in our bathroom. That was kind of one of the triggers for us to look at. Doing that, but if I was just say for example my budget isn't to do a demolish and rebuild like what we are currently doing.
So
but it was if you just had, a certain area.
Yeah, if you had a specific issue like you think you've got mold in the bathroom that you need to address, I'd say get a building biologist to come and assess and make recommendations.
Are they hard to find, a building
biologist? On asbb.org.au, Australian Society of Building Biologists, to find a certified building biologist. Don't, like if you're in a rental, don't get, you know, a lot of the real estate agents said the mold guys that come in and they say that, you know, they're going to spray, you know, do a treatment, which is not the way to treat it. The focus needs to be on addressing the source of the moisture. And if there is mold, then you need to make sure it's remediated properly. So, like, if you are someone that's got sensitivities, it's not exacerbating any symptoms. But if you don't have a specific problem or there's people just wanting to learn more about this so they can take steps to prevent it in their home, I have e-courses where I go through, you know, how mold impacts your health. If you think you might be sick because of it, what to do. I've got checklists. And then I also cover EMFs, air quality, water quality, and things like bedding, paints. Yeah.
And that's all as a... Did you say that's as an e-course?
Yes, so I've got an e-course, and then as part of that, I've got an amazing group. It's a group on Facebook called the Healthy Home Collective. So it's people that have been through the e-course, they're making the changes in their homes and actually love it because every day they're like-minded, they post the questions, they share their wins. I do a weekly live Q&A so that they're really there. They kind of feel like outcasts among their family and friends for being so onto all of this stuff. So it's just a really nice community because they're so supportive of each other.
Yeah. I've learnt to get rid of that label of being the, you know, like the hippie or the, like, because it's just, that's how, you know, like it's about health. Like that's how I think.
If you could, I take it as a compliment now. It's like if someone really, says, I'm a Tim Patter, I say thank you.
Yeah. Well, because what I end up finding is that people kind of come to you for like, what, like, you know, like down the track, they're like, well, what would you do in this scenario? Or, you know, and it's not, it's, you've got, then you've got like resources there to be able to refer people and to sort of to help with that. But I did think about I've got a couple of girlfriends actually that built recently.
Yeah.
And they I haven't actually kind of said it directly to them, but in the back of my mind, their kids are actually, and they've been quite sick a lot. And just in terms of like colds, coughs, but it could be things around ear infections, you know, that sort of stuff. So, and you were mentioning that in some countries they actually leave the properties or the
China. Yeah, they're really onto VOCs in China. They air the property out for a few months before they move in to let the VOCs off gas. So that's the other thing I should have said with VOCs is they will continue off gas for years after your home's been built. But then also moisture is a massive problem in new builds because concrete's really high in moisture and construction timeframes typically don't allow enough time for it to cure. If the vapor weather protection membranes aren't breathable, choosing the wrong window frames. There's so many different ways that different contributors to moisture in the home in the build stage.
Mm. And for me, again, because I can only refer to my experience, we're talking about how I was like, oh, I don't really know, because we're going through like a high-end builder and I don't know what impact we'll have. But when I've spoken to them and I've said, look, I've got some questions around, you know, this, that or the other, they're like, oh, well, yeah, tell us what they are and we'll be able to, like, they're very receptive. So I think that that's the perception.
I was on a building site in the Sunshine Coast last week grilling the building designer and the builders, and I was amazed at how receptive and open they were. And I definitely think it's the way of the future. I've got another client that gave my report to her builder and she said, yep, he's totally on board.
I've said all along with my builder, I want to have a lot of natural light and really energy efficient and no gas. And they're just like, okay.
This is... like people, like when you think of the amount of money you spend on building a home, to then find out a year later that just like a few different decisions. This report that I read last night said that some of the changes, you know, the things to mitigate the risk of condensation and mold, like in the build stage, the cost of between additional costs is like $500 to $5,000, and the cost of not doing it. Like it talked about a family that. End up having to move out of their newly built home. They had to pull out the roof. Mold had to be remediated. The husband and wife ended up breaking up, and everyone in the family had autoimmune issues.
Oh, God.
That's like not getting the right advice and choosing the right materials in the beginning.
Yeah, it certainly outweighs, I think. You used a term which I've heard a few times. You used it when we chatted, I think when I did your webinar.
Yeah.
Called concrete cancer.
Yep.
Can you just explain that
a bit more? The concrete's susceptible to cracking.
I can't remember whether it was that or was it that it had mold through it?
Oh, no. So concrete can be an amazing material in rooms that have lots of sunlight because you've got high thermal mass. But in areas that, like, say, in my climate, it's humid, my ground floor area doesn't receive any sunlight. Concrete has, for every square meter of concrete, it has 210 litres of moisture. 90 litres of that needs to evaporate, but it takes months for concrete to cure. So construction timeframes usually don't allow the time required for it to cure. So it's really important to allow to dry if you do use concrete.
Yeah, we will be using concrete, so that'll be an interesting conversation.
Okay, also, keeping the construction site covered so that the timber and the concrete aren't getting wet during the build.
We've been thinking about this rebuild or this refurb. It was initially a renovation and now it's not, but we've been thinking about it for a long time. And I've done a lot of and I also have been on like some Facebook groups around efficient homes and all that sort of stuff, and because that's probably where a lot of my kind of passion kind of lies. What I've shared on the podcast with other people is around, you know, we don't really use much water, we use a lot of rainwater, we don't really use much power. Yeah. But then, you know, that's just like, as I said, that's just such a small part of it. Totally. And that's, to me, actually, that's just the last thing that I'll be doing in this build.
It's amazing, the focus on sustainability is so important and so needed, but it's time now to go a step beyond that.
Oh, I love it so much. I'm so excited. Where can people find more information about you, Zara?
So my website is thehealthyhome.global. So there's links to my e-courses, my Instagram. My Instagram is just my personal name. I'm there pretty much every day having a bit of a yarn and sharing interesting information.
I love your little Instagram stories and little videos. We'll share all that information under the show notes as well. So to wrap up, we always ask our guests a little last sort of question. Sorry, I haven't given you any warning on this one. Sorry. But you can take a few, you can have some thinking sort of time if you needed to. But if you were to give one sustainability tip to our Sustainable You community, what would that be?
Okay, so in the context of a building material, for instance, consider like the whole life cycle of the material. So for instance, if you're looking at using timber, it's recycled timber or one that's forest stewardship certified. But then also, could bamboo be an option? Because it takes 10 years to grow a tree, whereas it takes a few months to grow bamboo. So really rapidly growing renewable resource. So, yeah, something to think about.
So many things to think about. Yeah. And that is actually one of the things I think around this sort of healthy, sustainable living, is that there are, when you think you're doing good, sometimes things pop up and you're like, oh, okay. You're never going to get it perfect.
No.
And I think if we all,
you've got to let go of that. I can see in some of the questions that I get, I'm really encouraging people to think, okay, well, is it, you know, if it's your bed, for instance, you're sleeping in it every night, breathing in that air 8 hours a day. Yeah. It's really important to make sure that that's not toxic, but if it's a cabinet that's, you know, you leave outside for a few weeks before you bring it in, and then, you know, you're not sitting next to it all the time. You really prioritize and be realistic.
Yeah, and put it into perspective, I think, as well. But I think as long as you're trying and you're chipping away at it, you're probably doing better than the average person, really.
Exactly.
I could actually probably talk to you all day, but we do try and be short and sharp. I really encourage people to get in touch, to follow you on all of your platforms, and get some more information for themselves. I think the work that you're doing is awesome and amazing. It's something that started from a tragedy, but your own personal sort of hardship. That you've kind of grown from that, and then how you're then putting it out to help other people so they don't have to go through that hardship that that you experienced. I think that's just phenomenal.
That's
amazing work. As always, we hope that we have inspired you, and we hope that you continue to work towards becoming a more sustainable you.
Sustainable You can be found on Instagram at Sustainable You Pod, on Facebook at Sustainable You Podcast, or connect via email at sustainableyoupod@gmail.com. Episodes are created by Lisa and Jackie. If you appreciate the podcasting information shared, please like, subscribe, and share. If you are listening on iTunes, Jackie and Lisa would appreciate you giving them a 5-star rating and writing a review to help other people find their podcast.